With all due respect. And remember, I'm saying with all due respect.
Here with Nick Wilson.
I am America's sports talk show host. Hear me roar.
Stan Norfleet here.
Hey, it was just a misunderstanding.
No, it ain't.
Oh, bleep you. Get off my...
Bye, Gomez.
Bye, right. Gomez, to both of you.
Do I detect some kind of sarcasm here?
Never.
Sports Radio FNC, the show is back. Nick Wilson, Stan Norfleet, ready to pump your Tuesday full of love and Panther talk.
No idea where you were going there.
Neither did I. Thus, where we ended up. However, we've got a loaded show. Scott Kaplan of Afternoon Drive on ESPN Los Angeles joins us at 11. We'll talk about the link in LA. We've got Rod Boone, Hornets beat reporter of the Charlotte Observer. He'll talk with us at noon. We'll talk about the Hornets' loss last night to Chicago and Stan's overreaction to it. We've got Scott Fowler, of the columnist at the Charlotte Observer at 1. We'll get into his thoughts on a platoon at the quarterback position. But good morning, my friend. Do we feel better? Was yesterday therapeutic with being able to get through some of our frustrations with this Panthers roster? I keep saluting you, and I have no idea why.
Good morning, Nick. Itty bitty fitty in the back. Charlotte, Metro Line. I hope everybody's good. Streaming all over the world, wherever you are, what's going on?
Azerbaijan, what up?
And the answer to your question is no. I'm going to do some yelling. I still feel some type of way, and I have reason to feel the way that I feel about a multitude of things.
We tried. We really tried. You and I put in the effort. Did we hammer fairly Matt Rhule and company yesterday?
Fairly? Yes.
And I'll be honest, we didn't really spare anybody. I mean, the only guy we didn't, I don't think, talk nearly enough about his role in this bleep show was Dave Tepper. And
we got
some moments for Dave Tepper this week.
Phil Snow got let off the hook yesterday, too, a little bit.
That's fair.
But Joe Brady, get some of this.
But Cam. You and I are seen as Cam apologists. I think we all agreed that was Cam's worst game, not just this year, maybe this decade. The last two decades.
What did we give him? I gave him 25 to 33% credit for that bleep show.
But I think what we also tried to do yesterday, the final couple segments, were you, me, the audience, itty bitty fitty, trying to sit down and constructively say, for the final five games of the year, in the bye week, what are the fixes? And we kind of got to a point, like, well, you know, I talked Brady Christensen. We talked about running the ball more, right? What was yours? You had a really good one that I'm completely forgetting here and spacing on the air.
It wasn't offensive line. Oh, it was the quarterback play. Don't turn the ball over. Defense got to take the ball away. So take away.
So, and there were plenty of great ideas on the text line. And so we were kind of like, all right, we've got 9 days left of shows until the Panthers play again. But it was like meant to be this, now we can get back to level. And then,
kaboom,
as we were signing off, Bailey got the gift of all gifts right before his show.
Yep.
To blow up his entire rundown for a show.
Mm-hmm.
That Christian McCaffrey was being put on IR and would miss the rest of the season here. And it's impossible to take any other way. Matt Rhule and company have not just said as much, they've also shown as much. When Christian McCaffrey has not been able to go out there on the field, this coaching staff doesn't know how to win. They don't.
Yeah. Christian McCaffrey has played 10 games under Matt Rhule. He has starred and finished 8 of them.
Mm-hmm.
They're 3-5. Mm-hmm. Now, there's all these metrics about how the offense actually performs when they're on the field. I care about winning and losing above all else.
Mm-hmm.
So even when he's on the field, more often than not, they don't win.
And here's but the point is they win a lot less when he's not on the field. They have put their offense, they have built it completely around Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah,
and previously, a slappy quarterback who at least one radio show host, multiple radio show hosts in this town said, this probably isn't going to work out with. However, there's no way for this not to color our thoughts on this Panthers offense moving forward. Like, people want, I've seen people saying, Joe Brady, fire him in the bye, right? Let him off LSU's no longer open. We'll get to that. I've seen people want these big sweeping changes. The reality is, Christian McCaffrey, I felt like yesterday when we were talking about the final five games of the season, I said if they don't beat Atlanta coming out of the bye at home, I don't think they're going to win another game this year.
No, the team's going to give up on him.
The problem is, I feel even less hope about those final five games now that Christian McCaffrey's out officially for the rest of the season, because I think it's going to be tough to beat Atlanta without your biggest weapon.
So allow me to let this part breathe, and I understand where you are. You know me. The NFL is such week to week. Who knows, man? We'll get there. Is it less likely?
New name for the show. Who knows?
Sure. It's less likely they're as competitive without C-Mac. But if they don't clean up some of these other things, special teams, drops, Panthers are second in the league in drops. My God, can we make an adjustment in the third quarter? So if they don't clean up some of this other stuff, then C-Mac, and I keep telling people this, and I get pushback, Christian McCaffrey is not the offense. Christian McCaffrey is the benefactor of the offense.
Can I actually just get in on that? I actually really want to give you some credit on this. The Carolina Panthers, and this has been part of the thing that I think has hurt them under Matt Rule. They very clearly used Teddy Bridgewater as the scapegoat last year, despite none of us having really realistic, none of us having high expectations for last year. They pinned their collapse on Teddy Bridgewater.
No doubt about that.
And they used that as justification to chase Deshaun Watson, to chase
Matt Stafford.
And Sam Darnold, and to make the Sam Darnold move because he gave them a higher ceiling. And one thing we cannot allow, the Christian McCaffrey injury did not end their season. Not the hamstring injury, not this. Because it is what you said there. You can win without your best player.
I'm watching the Tennessee Titans win games, even though they lost to New England. I'm watching them win.
Pat Mahomes missed games the year they won the Super Bowl, and they had Chad Henne as their quarterback, and they won games when they didn't commit turnovers, when they were sound on third down, and when they played good defense.
Alvin Kamara missed games. Michael Thomas, granted receiver, has missed games. Tom Brady, the greatest to ever do it, missed games. And I'm watching a slappy in Matt Castle win 11 games. Stop telling me it's impossible to win in this league without a really good offensive player, especially a non-quarterback. It's not true. If your program is in place and you are solid. Lamar Jackson threw four interceptions Monday night. Sunday night. He threw four interceptions Sunday night.
Mm-hmm.
And that defense and run game bailed him out. He made enough plays, they won. Because Harbaugh has developed a program. And Matt Rule would say, well, guys, will you give me a second? And I would come back to what I said to you yesterday. Well, I'm giving you a second, but along the way, I'm comparing you to your peers. Right now, you only have a better winning percentage than five of the coaches in the league.
So we have plenty of time over the next 9 days, and we will, to talk about Matt Rule, his future here, what he's trying to do. But I think it going back to the idea,
you
don't get an out because Christian McCaffrey got hurt twice. It just tells me you didn't learn your lesson from last year. And more importantly, I think a great question about the Carolina Panthers and Christian McCaffrey is, why did this happen now?
That's my number one.
What's wild about this is, early yesterday, we had heard that the x-rays on McCaffrey's injured ankle were negative.
That's what we were told.
So we went from that. And that was like, I think, before our show. That was like overnight.
Yeah, it was like, what was that presser? The Zoom presser was what, 9, 10 a.m.?
It was like 8:30, 9 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And then we went from that to 2 p.m.
He's done for
the season. And so I do think it begs the question.
Hold on, before you did, let me throw in one other nugget. I'm sorry. And Matt Rule said there's no surgery expected.
Mm-hmm.
What? So it's not broken. That one showed up in an x-ray. So something showed up in the MRI that doesn't require surgery, that a dude is going to be out 5 games plus the bye week, 6 weeks?
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. You were going somewhere.
Well, but I just think it begs the question, why did this decision have to be made on Monday? And I also think it begs the question, who made the decision? I think those are the two most interesting things. Because you and I, I don't think we've said we definitively think the Carolina Panthers organization is dysfunctional.
I haven't used that word, no.
But we have painted a picture. There is the decision to sign Cam after Sam Darnold completely and unequivocally crapped the bed after 10 games into the season. You can call it an injury all you want. Christian McCaffrey was unplayable by the time he went on the IR 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago.
Christian McCaffrey, Sam Darnold.
Or Sam Darnold, thank you. Mixed up my tall, good-looking white guys.
The guys that I'm on the boat.
Our boat. We might not be on the boat.
I'm on the boat still. You're off.
Sam Darnold was unplayable before the injury, or before the injury of an excuse,
mm-hmm.
right? Then there was the Cam Newton move. This season has been so herky-jerky. 2 weeks ago, we have Hassan Reddick, and Matt Rhule both talking about players either not listening to leadership or not listening to coaching. And then you went out after a frustrating home loss and got absolutely waxed against Miami in a game that you showed no heart or no fight in. And now this decision. Matt Rhule says one thing at 9 a.m., and it seems like something that is completely contrary to where this thing was going happens 5 hours later.
There are two lines of thought here. And I understand where you are. I just choose not to put a ton of energy into who made the decision. Here's what I believe. There are two ways this goes, and I don't know that I'm going to ever find out. One, it's worse than what we're being told, and they're trying to find a way to save face.
Mm-hmm.
The other one is, C-Mac understands this ship is sinking, that this he does not believe with that offensive line that we're going to be competitive. He's thinking about the long-term future for Christian McCaffrey's health. He understands he's going to be held under the expectations of that contract. And Christian McCaffrey's like, yeah, I'm going to tap out. I'm not saying that I'm reporting that. I can tell you that question has been raised in football circles that I've been privy to in the last 24 hours.
704-570-9610. Want to hear from you guys on the text line today. We've also got Scott Kaplan of ESPN LA coming up at 11. We've got Rod Boone at noon of the Charlotte Observer Hornets beat and Scott Fowler of the Observer columnist at 1. And, of course, we're getting into the big coaching news in college football. We've got a Hornets loss to talk about. But the Panthers shelved Christian McCaffrey for the season, and that happened pretty much as KB went on the air yesterday. How does this impact the rest of the Panthers season? We've got to get into, though, what Stan was alluding to there on who made this decision and what the difference between that decision and who made it means for the Panthers going forward on Sports Radio FNZ. Radio FNZ, Nick Wilson, Stan Norfleet. Happy, it's a Panther Tuesday. Is it a Panther Tuesday or was yesterday just a Panther Monday?
No, technically it would be Second Take Tuesday, but I'm not watching that bleeping tape I had to see on Sunday. I watched it Monday. I'm not watching that tape again.
I was not in a great mood anyway yesterday because of the Christian McCaffrey injury, so I couldn't go back and rewatch that bleep show.
Grades are out. Did you see the PFF grades?
I no longer recognize pro football focus grades, even though there's nothing more in the world that I would like to do than reference the fact that Trent Scott got a 0.0.
Trent Scott, I'm trying to pull it back up. I had it up earlier. The guys, I think Daquan was ranked number one.
What did the brand get? That's all I care about. Michael Jordan, the brand.
Oh, Daquan ranked first. Brian Burns second. CJ Henderson, 79.7 came in at third. Followed by Jeremy Chin and Stephon Gilmore, respectively.
I literally didn't care about those. I was talking about the bad offensive line play. That's where my head
Here's
was
what
at.
You need to know. Taylor Moten came in at a 49 mm-hmm. out of a possible 100.
And he was actually one of the better offensive linemen graded
so
on Sunday.
So if Moten is at 49, there's no need to go back to that tape.
And so now we have that play by the offensive line on Sunday. And what was clearly one of their worst performances, if not their worst performance we've seen from them. And then we had the Christian McCaffrey injury. He's on the IR. He's out for this season. I do think it matters who made the decision to end the season for Christian McCaffrey. And I think everybody's putting this on Christian McCaffrey and or putting it on Matt Rhule. And I think either one could be the case here. I think there is one guy that everybody is leaving out here, which is the guy that is paying Christian McCaffrey $84 million. I don't think we can discount the idea that Dave Tepper, seeing his $84 million investment with a team that has lost 7 of 9 games, being overused, getting injured again, saying, let's go ahead and shut it down. Let's not forget, we had questions about whether the Panthers shut down Christian McCaffrey last year with a third injury after he came back off the shoulder injury that he got in the Kansas City game. I'm laughing because I'm trying to prioritize in my head all of the many injuries of Christian McCaffrey, not that Christian actually got hurt.
So there are a couple thoughts here. One, there's the nature of Christian McCaffrey's injuries.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's the how do we get to the decision-making process for now 2 seasons consecutively. I separate those two. Let me start with where you are. Whether it was Tepper, whether it was McCaffrey, Well, and let's be fair. McCaffrey did not play in a bowl game. Granted, college, not as apples and oranges, still in the same fruit basket.
Mm-hmm.
No problem with a dude protecting himself. Whether it was McCaffrey himself, Matt Rhule, David Tepper, they shut him down. My point is the season should not rise and fall predicated on one dude.
It shouldn't.
And the fact that this team should have prepared this offseason for what if C-Mac goes down again to prevent this goes back to the same conversation we've had yesterday and a number of different times. Why does the offensive line look like that? And do you believe Chuba Hubbard can carry the load? I don't believe they believe it because he had one carry in the second half yesterday.
I've seen a lot of people calling out Christian McCaffrey sitting out the bowl game at Stanford and saying, this is just another business decision by Christian McCaffrey. I personally think, and I'm not saying you're saying this, I'm literally, because I've seen this.
For those that think that way.
I think that's incredibly unfair to think of Christian McCaffrey. Christian McCaffrey, and I feel the same way about Christian that I felt about Cam when Cam was going through his myriad of injuries. It is on the team to protect the player. Because I believe the caliber of person I believe Christian McCaffrey is and has shown to be and has shown the want to get out there and play in the face of injuries. I think he's always going to want to play. It's the same thing with Cam. So if this is the organization protecting Christian McCaffrey from himself, kudos. I don't care whether it's Dave Tepper or whether it's Matt Rhule, unless they disagreed on it, then I care about it. What I do care about is the change in tone. What I do care about is after he got injured, he still went out there onto the field.
Yeah.
So he was still out there on the field. X-rays were negative, and 5 hours after it was announced that X-rays were negative, all of a sudden he's now on the IR. It is getting back to the idea of consistency. I have no reason to doubt the effort and consistency of Christian McCaffrey and his mindset about wanting to be on the field. I do have a lot of reasons to doubt the consistency, the focus, the decision-making of the Carolina Panthers. I can't get over at 9 a.m., X-ray's negative, don't really have an update on Christian, we'll see. 2 p.m., he's on the IR, done for the season. That is a huge shift in 5 hours.
Who wins with that? So let me just, I'm making a statement, question mark. Who wins with that narrative? This could be something that benefits everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we'll never know who truly made that decision. If you're Christian McCaffrey, yeah, it sucks. And I saw he put an Instagram post up that he ended with from the Holy Gospel, James 1:12. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. Amen to that, Christian McCaffrey. I'll come back to this post in a second. Christian McCaffrey doesn't get to play behind that offensive line. He doesn't have to go out there and subject his body to pass protection against quarterbacks who are going to turn over the ball. All three of them are going to turn over the ball.
Mm-hmm.
If you're Matt Rhule, this gives you another excuse.
Can I ask you, though?
Go ahead.
What's changed with a guy who was doing the silly walk, the Conor McGregor?
When he was going crazy when Cam scored in Arizona.
What's changed in 2 weeks for CMC? For it to be CMC to make that decision? Because that guy looked like a guy who was finally having fun playing football again.
He was. And then Washington happened, which he scored a touchdown. Cam threw him a beautiful pass. And then Miami happened. My point is, let's just suppose Christian McCaffrey said, guys, this ankle, I just don't know. Yeah, coach, I'm not ready. What if it's Matt Rhule? He gets to use McCaffrey another season for some. And, hey, we didn't have C-Mac. Quarterback position was in flux. Sam got injured. PJ and Cam did what they could. Okay, if you're Dave Tepper, and this is why I don't believe it was Dave Tepper, with this season looking like this, the only thing they have are the two poster boys.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning?
That's fair.
Christian McCaffrey and Cam Newton.
You're talking about from the business side of things.
From the business side, if you Tep, it sitting him does nothing for you. Now, Tep could say, I'm looking at long term, and I'm tired of dealing with this season by season. Hey, guys, put him on the shelf, get him healthy, and then we're going to move him.
I do think whatever the reason that they finally decided to put Christian McCaffrey on the IR to end his season, I still come out of this doubting the organization most of all. All right? And I hope it's not as bad as it looks. Because what we get, listen, Matt Rhule doesn't come on this station. Matt Rhule has gone on with Zach Gelb twice this year. I don't remember the last time Matt Rhule or Joe Brady or Phil Snow talked on this station.
Well, Matt Rhule did talk during training camp.
Mm-hmm.
I will give him that.
Yeah.
Scott Fitter has been on I think maybe after the CJ move or the Stephon Gilmore move. Mm-hmm. The owner, I haven't heard from, I don't know, since me and you've been back on this.
Well, but the greater point here is these guys, and I want to give a little evidence here. These guys really care about when they're at their press conference, controlling the narrative. All right. And for instance, here, when Joe Brady was, where when Christian McCaffrey was coming off his last injury, the hamstring injury, mm-hmm. Joe Brady was asked about how him coming off the injury, how they're going to change the usage. And here's what Joe Brady had to say.
I think injuries happen. I don't, I think if you talk with Christian, I don't know if he'd say I got injured because of the touches. The only thing that changed from a perspective is the fact that we've had another opportunity to see some more of these guys, run the football and show that they can, be in protections, they can make plays in the pass game, they can run the football. And so just gives you more confidence in that run game, in the running back room. But it hasn't really necessarily changed my perspective.
I know why Joe Brady would come out and say, 5 weeks ago, well, I don't believe the touches have led to injuries. There's a little bit of self-preservation in there.
It's also not true.
It's incredibly not true.
And again, it's the four-letter network, but real quick, is it not Stephania Bell? She does the gambling. Who's the woman?
Are you talking Cynthia Freeland?
No. She's Analytics NFL Network. There's a woman that comes on the four-letter network all the time, and she specializes in, I'm telling you, from a medical standpoint, mm-hmm. there is a direct equivalent to usage and lower extremity injuries at certain positions.
So my point is that I don't know there isn't a lot of transparency, and I'm talking real transparency from the Panthers organization, right? We don't get to talk to these guys, right? We get to listen to what they say in their press conference where they're kind of in control of what they say and how many questions they're asked versus coming under this format. And by the way, I'm not saying, Matt Rhule, you better come onto my show. We've got two other shows that either he or, you know what? Listen, no offense to Scott Fitterer. This for me and Christian McCaffrey's usage, this injury, the continued abuse of Christian McCaffrey, I have questions for Matt Rhule. And I think everybody in this town should have questions. And here's the most important question you and I haven't gotten to yet. What the bleep are you going to do going forward? Because if your solution is, well, I don't believe Christian McCaffrey got injured because of too many touches, so we're going to go back out there when he's healthy next year, assuming everybody's back, and we're going to do 30 touches a game again, then you might as well just go ahead and go to Oklahoma or Notre Dame. You might as well go ahead and pack it up, because you clearly have not learned to adapt to what the situation is telling you is going on.
So there is another thought here. In the college game, when you look at the metrics, obviously the colleges, they play fewer games. So the touches on a per-carry basis and the totality of touches, much different. Chuba Hubbard, I said it when they drafted him. Cool, but that's a volume back guy. When he gets in his groove, that's what the college game showed me from him. So my thing is, I come back and go, okay, are you guys not understanding the NFL season? You don't really have a handle on what touches do from an NFL season. And then why haven't you done what was necessary to protect yourself? There were other running backs better than Royce Freeman and Amir Abdullah. And who else was here for like 2 seconds? It was Royce Freeman, Amir Abdullah, and they had somebody else here for a second.
Oh, Rodney Smith. Let us not forget Rodney Smith.
There were other running backs that like are real bell cow backs that can handle a heavy workload to complement CMC. You could have drafted a back better than Chuba Hubbard if you truly felt that this was an issue. So here's what I'm saying to you, Nate. I think the team would say, oh, no, McCaffrey's injuries aren't because of us. It comes with the position, and that's him, his particular body. It's not our system. Two things can be true. By the way, I do believe, going back to that post real quick, he says, hey, I can't wait back to come back, McCaffrey. Bigger, faster, better, stronger, or something like that. Mm-hmm. See, Matt, we're at that point in your career. And I've wondered about this because I saw something from Joe Person about his body composition. See, Matt, he needs to lose a little muscle mass. And see, Matt needs to lose a little weight. There's something going on with his training regimen that these low extremity injuries are a thing. I know that was long. Go ahead with your point.
I just don't know I can put it on CMC. I'm sure there are. Listen, guys, I'll be honest, guys. I was 400 pounds a year ago. So my understanding of fitness and nutrition is very much in the nascent side of things. I just know for the Carolina Panthers. I've mentioned the Kamara thing. I mentioned it for a good year and a half now, since the third injury last year.
By the way, that phantom quad, meaning how there's no accountability, they never answered a question about where that came from.
Well, but I can't fault them for paying Christian McCaffrey a year and a half ago.
I can.
I said at the time, you know what? I don't know why we're paying him now.
You don't have to pay him now, and you didn't have to pay that much over market.
And over the fear of, and by the way, they called him a weapon and not a running back. Okay, so you paid him. That's a decision that you made. But then you went out and continued to use him as a battering ram, as the only thing that you had in your offense, and now we're trying to say, well, it's not our fault he got hurt. Yeah, I can't do this anymore. I'm not, you don't get the benefit of the doubt. You don't pass go. You don't collect $200. If you continue to do this to Christian McCaffrey, you just have told me you belong on Saturdays and you don't belong on Sundays. And by the way, I think the next five games are about Chuba Hubbard. Let's see what you can do, right? And who, any other young back that you might like, let's see him in the next five games. Because if Chuba Hubbard can't consistently tote the rock 15 to 20 times a game over the final five games of the year, well, then you're going to have to go find somebody to be that hammer, that, as you're talking about, the bell cow back to Christian McCaffrey moving forward. You cannot keep doing this. I cannot keep seeing the same mistake being made time and time and time again. We'll ask you that. You know, we've been asking about how does the loss of Christian McCaffrey impact the rest of the season, but do the Panthers need to find a workhorse back to pair with Christian McCaffrey? More fallout throughout the show today, but the insanity in college football continued last night. Sports Radio FNZ. Sports Radio FNZ, Nick Wilson, Stan Norfleet, humming along here on a beautiful day. Stan, I'm officially college football horny.
You posted something last night on Twitter,
which please do not describe, because it'll be the end of the show.
No, I will not. But it let me know where you were. I said to the good people that didn't hear that during this during the break because the mics were off. But you really want me removed from the studio for probably the next 2 hours?
Mm-hmm.
You have so much passion.
Uh huh.
Hot in the shorts.
Hot in the shorts.
You have a lust for college football coaching carousel.
Big coaching carousel energy. BCCE.
It's interesting, but you're going to go overboard. But proceed. It's entertaining.
Well, no,
have a good time.
I don't know why you don't have that. So I'm not usually like I do like the coaching carousel, specifically in college football, where there is a matchmaking element that I find really fascinating. And I think schools get it wrong more often than not because they don't have the right profile, not because they don't have the right mindset. And that, no, it is the mindset that's a problem, because there are so many cooks in the kitchen, and that makes it so tough to get right. If some schools would just let the guy that they hired to hire the coach, more often than not they'd be okay. But that doesn't happen. But yet, in the last last 48 hours, two ADs have been left to do what they wanted to do, which is make splashes. USC, who has historically been problematic, boosters interfering, money problems, all this bleep. They wooed Lincoln Riley away from Oklahoma to come be the new head coach. And then last night, in what was another seismic shift in college football, Brian Kelly leaving Notre Dame, apparently telling nobody at Notre Dame, and deciding to become the next head coach at LSU.
No, there was a group text message, even though 7 days ago.
It was sent out at 7 a.m. this morning.
No, it was last night. The text message was sent out last night, letting the guys know they would be addressed in person this morning.
At 7 a.m. at the meeting, correct.
Now, 7 days ago, there's some audio out there of Brian Kelly saying, oh, no, I have no interest in going anywhere. Notre Dame is where I want to be.
Yeah. We could play that. Would you like to play that audio?
Is that what the sheet says?
This was 7 days ago. I'm just going to rehash everything Stan said. Brian Kelly. Brian Kelly, who, by the way, has tried to leave for the NFL for like a decade from Notre Dame, was asked whether he would be interested in leaving for another college job. And here was what Brian Kelly had to say on the matter. Which
other than retiring from your current profession, could you see yourself leaving Notre Dame of your own volition?
No. No. I mean, look, I think Mike Tomlin had the best line, right? You know, unless that that fairy godmother comes by with that, you know, $250 million check, my wife would want to take a look at it first. I'd have to run it by her.
The best part about this is he didn't get $250 million from LSU. Now, the initial one unsubstantiated report was that Brian Kelly was going to get $15 million a year.
That's the number I saw.
The report that has now come out says 10-year, $95 million.
Guaranteed.
Guaranteed.
That's the new number.
Yes.
If you want a coach, it's guaranteed 10 years, $95 million.
And
or 110, which is what Lincoln got to go.
110 for 10 years, plus they bought him a house.
Two houses. Oh, three houses, actually.
Well, you know, so they bought his two houses, right, in Norman, and right, then bought him a $6.5 million house in L.A.?
Give or take, let's go $6 million plus.
Is that a one-room studio?
$6 million plus of what is campus property is probably a $12 million mansion on the market.
To look at just the Brian Kelly side of things. Because people want to play that Brian Kelly audio, and they want to, think of the children, think of the children. One, I'm not as hot on this anymore, because players now have the transfer portal at any point they want.
Sure.
So it is much more apples to apples now for young players. They can still get penalized if they want to transfer a time after that, but the transfer portal is now open to them. And here's the other thing. Guys, I've just gotten to the point where this is Looney Tunes money. I mean, this is, remember 3 years ago, Jimbo Fisher was hired for 10 years, $75 million. And everyone said,
guaranteed.
You're not going to top that. This is as much as we can possibly pay anyone. And then Mel Tucker, 2 weeks ago, it was reported 10 year, $95 million. And everyone said, I mean, if he's going to get this, Brian Kelly, guys, in the pantheon of everything, Brian Kelly deserves every penny he's getting here.
No doubt about that.
Brian Kelly's one of the 10 best coaches in college football.
Arguably the most underrated coach.
100%.
I'm talking about that's in a real top 15 program in the country.
He has Grand Valley State, Central Michigan, and Cincinnati were their best selves until Luke Fickell came along with Cincinnati this year. But he elevated those programs to their best selves. And then, do I need to relitigate Ty Willingham or
let's see, who offered me in Notre Dame? It was Bob Davey.
Bob Davey. Bob's really good at radio. And
Davey's a good dude to me.
A media analyst. Good dude. Really good dude. Charlie Weiss. Like, okay, maybe Brian Kelly didn't win a national championship at Notre Dame, but considering the current landscape of college football, Brian Kelly has elevated Notre Dame to their best status that they've had consistently since Lou Holtz was the head coach. So people want to make jokes. Oh, well, Brian Kelly, you're going to get paid to every 3 years to get whopped by Alabama by 40 points. No. Guys, nobody before that, the three coaches before that, weren't getting you into the playoffs. They weren't getting you into a national title game. And Brian Kelly, and for some off-the-field reasons that are fair to talk about, things that happened on his watch at Notre Dame, there are reasons to wonder the quality of human being that Brian Kelly is. But in terms of this move, as soon as I heard it yesterday, I said, wow, what a great hire by Woodard. The new AD LSU AD. Yeah. Because he's been hamstrung a little bit by the restrictions at Notre Dame. For as great of a job Notre Dame is,
yeah,
There's an academic
requirement.
There's a lifestyle restriction.
They still don't offer co-ed.
And that might sound like a minuscule thing, that's because you're an adult. You're not an 18-year-old man.
As someone that went through the recruiting process, when you go to schools in the SEC, some of the schools in the ACC, and then all of a sudden they ask you to come look at that Golden Dome, and you're like, wait a minute. I see this woman, but I cannot interact with her in a residential space outside of these defined hours,
mm-hmm,
and it's cold as bleep. The weather's a big part of it.
So I think Brian Kelly is a better hire at LSU than I even think Lincoln Riley is at USC. I think they are both aiming for the moon, the kind of moves that with the the groundswell, the kind of seismic change we're seeing in college football, I think they're the kind of moves programs should be making. But I think Brian Kelly has consistently taken every program he's ever been with, he's built it from the ground up, taken over programs in bad situations, and built them to be the best versions of themselves. Lincoln Riley took over for Bob Stoops, who had won a national championship and who had stabilized Oklahoma over a 16-year period. Is Lincoln Riley a great coach? There's no question about it to me.
Of course.
But he's never started where he's starting at USC.
So for me, to Brian Kelly, I was like, okay, is it an awkward fit? Yeah. Brian Kelly, but the Mad Hatter didn't fit the Bayou, you know, Gulf South motif. Like, he just didn't fit there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but what's most important at Louisiana State University? Winning football games.
Mm-hmm.
Brian Kelly is a better football coach than Lincoln Riley. Brian Kelly is a better football coach than Luke Fickle. And what's my man down over at Oklahoma State? Like, this is one of the best coaches of football in America.
And I would say, because who's a good coach is subjective. I would say he's a more proven coach. He's done it at more places, and I think that's a real currency.
See, to me, where you've done it and how often you've done it matters, no doubt. But I also look at the context that you're doing it under. Notre Dame is a very difficult place to coach football. The expectations, the history, the NFL, like, you got all of this stuff, right? But if you're LSU, this makes a ton of sense that you would make this offer, because who else were you going to get? He's better than Mark Stoops.
Mm-hmm.
He's better than anybody else that was going to be on the market. You knew you weren't going to get Lincoln Riley. He's better than Matt Rhule. He's better than all these other dudes. James Franklin stayed. He's better than James Franklin. You're not getting Dabo. You're not getting Jimbo. This was the best you were going to do. And if you're Brian Kelly, this is why I'm leaving.
It's the best you're going to do at Notre Dame.
That there's a ceiling at Notre Dame. But when I get down to this Bayou, whereas football above all else, now I get a chance to go at Alabama, to go at Texas A&M, to go at Clemson a little differently, and quite frankly, it's a bleep ton of cash.
And you know, everybody says, it's Nick Saban still around. Yeah, Ed Orgeron won a title with Nick Saban in town.
He did.
You know, Brian Kelly only really needs one national title. Right?
Well,
and Brian Kelly, if Brian Kelly has them consistently in the playoffs and he gets one national title, this move will be made an absolute success.
So now, look, Brian Kelly's a better coach to me than Dabo. Dabo beat Nick and pushed him to the brink on a separate occasion because he had the right dudes.
Now here's what I really want. Now what I really need is Urbie Two Digits to go ahead and leave Jacksonville for Notre Dame. I'm so college football coaching carousel horny. Now I need Urban Meyer to leave Trevor Lawrence holding the bag in Jacksonville and go to Notre Dame so I can achieve absolute completion on the college football coaching carousel.
It sounds like the Irish are leaning towards current defensive coordinator Marcus Freeman.
Love the guy.
Who has been a candidate on all the premier coaching jobs.
Hope he gets the job or some job. But I'm going to need Urban there. All right. I'm addicted to big college coaching moves. I cannot stop it. But as we are talking about Brian Kelly to LSU, we've got to get Scott Kaplan of ESPN LA to break down Lincoln Riley and the impact he is expected to have in Los Angeles at USC. That's next on Sports Radio FNZ.